This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Noah Lim and Kusu Chuang. We are turning our attentions to geopolitics now. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is visiting Southeast Asia this week, signaling the U.S.'s renewed focus on the Asia Pacific. Her first stop was Singapore, and she's now in Vietnam for 2 days, where the U.S. has promised the country 1 million COVID-19 doses that will be arriving in the next 24 hours.
That's very charitable of the U.S. In Singapore, Harris met with the Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, and agreements were made to strengthen both countries' collaboration in cybersecurity, climate change, the economy, pandemic, and also in aerospace. I think in outlining President Joe Biden's plan for Indo-Pacific relations, I think Harris had emphasized that the U.S.'s engagement in Southeast Asia is not against any one particular country, and I guess you may be referring to China, nor is it meant to make anyone choose between countries.
Sure. They can say that, but the situation they put us in is very different. And with both China and the U.S., wooing countries in this region while they're having this icy relationship, on the cards, can this region realistically stay neutral with both superpowers? So for some insights into this, we're speaking this morning to Chong Jia-yen, Associate Professor at the Department of Political Science at the National University of Singapore. Thanks for joining us, Jia-yen. Good morning. Okay, then, this pivot to Asia and the visits to certain Southeast Asian countries has raised questions about how serious the U.S. is in their bilateral ties with this side of the world. Do you think we'll continue seeing similar efforts with other countries in the region under Biden's government?
So I think we will be seeing more efforts by the U.S. to reach out to the region. I mean, the Harris visit comes after the Austin visit, the Secretary of Defense, after the various meetings by the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. So I think it's a pattern. The U.S. is probably trying to establish that they are committed and interested in the region. Now, what's interesting, though, is that they are doing this somewhat bilaterally and somewhat multilaterally. So some of the ASEAN things are obviously multilateral. Now, the bilateral ones with, say, Singapore and Vietnam, what those trips seem to do is to try to signal that there are partners that the U.S. believes are more willing to work with them, and so they're happy to start with those partners first, right? And then perhaps look at others later on.
Yeah, so following Harris's visit, do you think Singapore will seek to maintain strong ties with China and maintain a neutral stance amid this increased U.S.-China tension?
So Singapore, I think what it tries to do is to maintain good ties with all parties that it believes are important for its interests. So this would include the U.S. and China. Now, whether that means neutrality, I'm not so sure. It says it doesn't want to choose sides, but not choosing sides doesn't necessarily mean sticking right down the middle. On some issues, I can see it siding more with one party, and on others, another party. So that, of course, may work out for Singapore, but the risk there, of course, is that the party which sees Singapore as not siding them as much as they would like on an issue may be unhappy. But that is not really completely within Singapore's control. You cannot completely control the perceptions of others.
What about Vietnam? How does it view the two superpowers, and which country has more influence over it?
So Vietnam, I think, is another one of these states that is trying to find its way in a very difficult environment. On the one hand, it has territorial disputes and other issues with China, and some of them are very long-standing and historical. But at the same time, Vietnam recognizes that China is a neighbor, and any sort of long-term uncontrolled friction with the neighbor will probably not serve it very well. At the same time, the United States does offer Vietnam options in terms of cooperation, economic development, even security collaboration. But of course, the U.S. brings with it questions of commitment, questions of how much the U.S. is willing to come to bear on any particular issue. So Vietnam will be trying to tack between these sets of complex considerations.
So the messaging from the U.S. has always been about not picking sides between the U.S. and China. But is that actually realistic, especially with both sides trying to ramp up relations with countries in the region?
So what I think the U.S. position is to offer reason for Asian states to cooperate with it, to give Asian state options. Now, what that means is that there may be, in effect, right, some sort of decision being made, some sort of choice being made. But that reiteration of the not choosing sides rhetoric basically means to say that if there's anyone doing the forcing, if there's anyone trying to put Asian states in a difficult position, it is not the United States. It is the other party, the implication being China.
The meeting in Singapore saw many agreements to strengthen both countries' collaboration in cybersecurity, climate change, the economy, pandemic, and space, of course. Should China be worried by this flurry of activity?
So, in principle, these are not necessarily mutually exclusive. So, to cooperate with the US on the climate doesn't mean that you cannot cooperate with China on the climate. So too with other issues such as cybersecurity, which China is also concerned about. Now, the question would be, if the Chinese side somehow sees these ties as mutually exclusive, or perhaps the US does, then that could potentially be an issue. But in principle, they should not. Part of it is, you know, what Singapore is doing, things that it is, you know, trying to find a way forward. But again, what Beijing perceives is not completely within its control. The other point that is interesting to note is that a lot of these agreements come in the form of memorandum of understanding, which means to say that they are non-binding, right? They put forward certain principles for cooperation, certain things to aspire towards. Now, that means there's no clear implementation plan, there's no set date, there are no fixed milestones. So, I mean, these, I suppose, are first steps, right? They lay out the possibility. So what happens is we have to watch the next steps and to sort of see how much these goals get achieved.
Following up on your point again of Vietnam, what else can we expect from Harris's meeting after she promised 1 million vaccine doses over the next 24 hours?
So I would expect very similar kinds of offers being made to Vietnam. I mean, one of the points to note is that Vietnam and Singapore are both the sort of original TPP partners of the US before the US withdrew, which means to say that there are going to be some residual areas of interest that are convergent. So the US is likely to pick up on these, so possibly more on trade, more on investment. So the US is very keen to emphasize that in the region, they remain the largest investor. Even if on like trading goods, right, China is by far more dominant. So I think the U.S. emphasize those elements. It's going to probably talk about cooperation along the Mekong, including environment, including the provision of energy. And those would be things that Vietnam would be interested in. I would also think that on the Vietnam front, the U.S. is going to re-emphasize its commitment to the freedom of navigation and its disagreement with China's territorial claims.
Okay, so you have the U.S. coming in trying to show that it's back, that it wants to, you know, restate its presence in the region. But China does have its Belt and Road Initiative and the investments in all the countries here. So how visible then is the U.S.'s commitment in comparison?
So that's a very good point to bring up, because the BRI, you know, is something that is seen and felt in the region in a way that U.S. aspirations are not yet. However, that being said, the BRI thing cuts both ways, right? Because there are BRI projects that seem to be working. They're coming along. We see some of these in Indonesia with the port and the railway there. We see others that where I suppose people may give some pause to how well it's progressing. So this includes some of those projects in Malaysia. And so I think to be visible in the way the BRI, it cuts both ways. On the one hand, it shows, okay, the Chinese are committed, they are willing to put forward resources, but sometimes they don't play out, right? So that's the downside of it. Whereas the US, I suppose it's a matter of, well, there's a lot of hope there for right now. That can only work for so long before things have to start materializing. So what is key in terms of visibility is the U.S. follow-up. So we've seen the first step, right? Now the declarations, the promises. Next is to see how the U.S. actually is able to follow up or not.
Jayan, thank you very much for your insights this morning. That was Associate Professor Chong Jayan from the Department of Political Science at the National University of Singapore, talking to us about Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Southeast Asia and what that means in terms of U.S. commitment in the region.
Yeah, so here's where it gets a little bit John Le Carre and Jason Bourne, right? Kamala Harris, when she was boarding the plane to go to Vietnam from Singapore, the plane was delayed for 3 hours, right? And people suggest, I mean, the conspiracy theorists that say that she was afflicted by Havana syndrome. We can talk about that another day, right? But her arrival was delayed by 3 hours. Then in Hanoi, what happened with this the Chinese representative there went and basically doorstopped the Vietnamese equivalent and said, okay, I know America is going to give you 1 million doses of vaccine. We'll give you 2 million doses, right? And basically, that's what they did, right? They hijacked this donation. So just this highlights the trouble, the difficulty that America has in navigating Southeast Asia. And you know, obviously, Vietnam is very close to China, right? And China is very very likes to remind people in ASEAN and countries in ASEAN of its proximity to China.
Well, these are some of the headlines coming out of Kamala Harris's visit. It's definitely very interesting. Southeast Asia is going to be that stage for the U.S. and China to kind of flex their dominance. You know, we'll be watching this space for sure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.